Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. The Labor Department this morning reported that unemployment rose 0.8% last month and now stands at 7.8% of the workforce. The jobless increase over the past 2 months has been the sharpest in the 40 years the department has been keeping figures, and it indicates a rapidly steepening recession. But inflation at the wholesale level is cooling off. Producer prices last month rose only 0.3%, the smallest monthly increase in nearly 3 years. Late yesterday, the House of Representatives overrode President Carter's rejection of the bill repealing his oil import fee. The vote was massively lopsided, 335-34. This morning, the Senate decides the issue, and we'll hear about that from Mariah McLaughlin.
The Senate may not be quite as eager as the House was last night to override the president's veto of the congressional repeal of the oil import fee with its 10-cent a gallon price hike. Some say the vote could be close, even though the vote against the fee in the Senate earlier this week was a whopping 73-16. There are reports some members may be wavering. According to the Republican leader Ted Stevens of Alaska, Senator Henry Bellman has been making a good case for upholding President Carter's veto, saying that an anticipated $10 billion in additional revenue from the fee could be used to lower other taxes. A two-thirds vote is needed in both the House and the Senate to override. If the Senate does follow the House action today, it will be the first time a Democratic Congress has overridden a Democratic president since Harry Truman was overridden in 1952. Mariah McLaughlin, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
In the post-Truman years, though, Republican Presidents Eisenhower, Nixon, and Ford had a total of 19 vetoes overridden. Senator Kennedy went to the White House yesterday afternoon and discussed his drive for the Democratic presidential nomination with President Carter. The upshot of the meeting, as we hear from Robert Pierpoint, is that the drive will continue.
They spent just over an hour together in the Oval Office, Mr. Carter gently but firmly pushing the theme of party unity. Afterward, the senator avoided that question, preferring to talk about the continuing need for a debate. Later in the Oval Office, President Carter said their meeting had been friendly, but he made it clear they still had their differences.
That's the difference that remains primarily, is whether or not the platform process, including a final vote in the convention, should decide the position of the party, or whether there should be some public televised debate between me and him.
After yesterday's meetings, Kennedy himself still refused to say that he would support the president if Mr. Carter wins the nomination. But President Carter believes their meeting yesterday was a success in that it opened the dialogue that will eventually lead to a unified party after the Democratic convention. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News, at the White House.
Mr. Carter has asked Arizona's Representative Morris Udall, a Kennedy supporter, to deliver the keynote address at the convention. Udall agreed and said he'd talk about Democratic Party unity. Republican Party unity appears assured, to judge from the conference that Ronald Reagan and Gerald Ford held yesterday at the former president's home in California. We'll hear about it from Jerry Bowen.
The Ford and Reagan meeting was just the beginning, according to the two participants. There will be more sessions during the course of the 1980 campaign between the former president and the Republican Party standard bearer in this election year. Reagan came away from the meeting at Mr. Ford's Rancho Mirage estate with a public commitment from Mr. Ford to campaign wholeheartedly for the former governor. But former President Ford took his name out of the mix of possible running mates by declaring that he would not circumvent the constitutional prohibition against two candidates from the same state sharing a national ticket. Mr. Ford said he believes he can have some impact on the campaign by wooing moderate Republicans to Reagan's cause, and moderate support is a soft spot in the Reagan campaign. Despite the fact that the race for the GOP nomination is over, Reagan departs later today on a 3-day campaign trip, in part to raise money, in part to unify the party in states where he did not do well, among them Iowa. Jerry Bowen, CBS News, Los Angeles.
A look now at the campaign of independent candidate John Anderson. Bob McNamara is covering that campaign in Georgia.
1 year ago this week, John Anderson said he'd seek the presidency. And then a Republican, he was for a long time after that the runt of the political litter. But now an independent, Anderson says he has Jimmy Carter on the run, that the lawsuits the Democrats say they plan to launch to keep his name off November election ballots fly in the face of a campaign the White House calls a fantasy.
They may talk about fantasy, but when push comes to shove, they know that the American people are fed up with the monopolistic grip that the two major parties have said they have got on the nominating process.
Anderson made a quick stop here in Georgia to get his petition drive moving after campaign aides said it began to sputter. Anderson needs more than 57,000 signatures to qualify for Georgia's November election ballot, and he's got a month to do it. But mostly because this is Mr. Carter's home state, Anderson wants double the signatures the law requires. Bob McNamara, CBS News with the Anderson campaign in Georgia.
The Democratic National Committee has budgeted $225,000 in an effort to keep Anderson's name off the November election ballots. Anderson says that shows the Democratic Party regards his candidacy as a genuine threat. CBS News has obtained a copy of a secret report prepared by a staff aide of the Senate Armed Services Committee at the request of Republican member John Tower of Texas. Ike Pappas tells us that the report raises new questions about the unsuccessful Iran rescue mission and tries to identify the causes of what happened.
Research for the secret study included interviews with at least 25 members of the rescue party. The report's conclusion, that flawed planning, sloppy execution, and poor leadership led to the failure of the hostage rescue mission. The Pentagon, through spokesman Thomas Ross, issued an immediate angry denial of the allegations, Ross saying the document is full of inaccurate statements and judgments. Ross listed some of the charges made in the report and issued direct responses. For example, charge that General James Vaught, a former military school commander, was a poor choice to head up such a complex and delicate mission. Answer, false. General Vaught was selected as the mission commander because of the vast range of his training and experience. Charge, insufficient thought was given to helicopter maintenance. Answer, false. There was a special maintenance system. It went far beyond the ordinary. Charge, Air Force weather experts failed to predict a thick dust cloud that the helicopters had to fly through to get to the desert landing site. Answer, weather experts both inside and outside the Pentagon have concluded that prediction of such a phenomenon is impossible. The Senate Armed Services Committee says the report is not an official committee document. The committee will issue its own report in time, said a spokesman. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Washington.
In Tehran, the conference on alleged American crimes in Iran has ended with a demand for compensation and return of the Shah. The conference issued a final declaration that made no mention of the hostage crisis, despite the efforts of the American delegates to have it included. The declaration criticized former Attorney General Ramsey Clark, one of the American delegates, even though Clark this week made outspoken attacks on the Shah and past American activities in Iran. The conference suggested that Clark may have been planted in Tehran by President Carter, just the way it claims Rudolf Hess was planted in Britain by Hitler during World War II. No basis for that argument has ever turned up. Tehran radio this morning denounced Clark, calling him a vile American agent, and it said it wants Iran's foreign minister to explain why Clark was allowed to take part in the conference. New Zealand, one of the countries that pledged to take part in the Moscow Olympics this summer, now appears to be effectively out of the games after new withdrawals by its Olympic team. Ken Williams has the story in Auckland.
The latest defections are by the key athletics, rowing and cycling teams, and to cut New Zealand's squad from its initial level of 96 to a mere 11. The few competitors remaining in New Zealand's Olympic team are in sports such as canoeing, fencing, and judo, which for this country are relatively minor and fail to arouse wide public interest, either within the country or in international competition. With the continued withdrawals of New Zealand's leading athletes, the remaining 11 are more than likely to decide next week to pull out as well. That decision would put New Zealand out of the games, a position that had been argued for by the New Zealand government, which, while it applied verbal pressure on the Olympic competitors, refused to go so far as to prevent their going to Moscow. This is Ken Williams for CBS News, Auckland, New Zealand.
The price of gold is surging upward again overseas. It was fixed in London this morning at $598 an ounce, up more than $16 from the previous fix, and later on it passed the $600 mark. It's now at its highest level in 2 months. The dollar is holding steady on the foreign exchanges. It was off sharply for a while today in Tokyo, but recovered before the close.
Newsbreak. I'm Jerry Landay, substituting for Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. A review of some of the less noticed but clearly more significant items in today's news suggests it's time to get serious. In Florida, farmer Ed Schneller's duck has been taken hostage. The duck was eating a neighbor's rose bushes. The neighbor kidnapped the duck, is demanding a quarter a day ransom, or else. The compassionate populace of Miami has begun a Free the Duck campaign and begun contributing to a ransom fund. If you think that development serious, just wait a minute.
Welcome to the Kava Club. Happy coffee lovers dedicated to the enjoyment of the one and only Kava instant coffee. It's the only coffee that's 90% acid neutralized. Tastes less bitter, so it feels lots better. You always enjoy smooth and friendly coffee, cup after delicious cup. So if you're sometimes bothered by ordinary coffee, join the Kava Club. Switch to 90% acid neutralized. Kava instant coffee. Tastes less bitter, feels lots better.
Hi, this is Michael Landon. I spend a lot of time at my typewriter writing and rewriting scripts because I want them to turn out right. Same thing with my pictures. I want them to turn out right, too. And I make sure Kodak paper's behind them because to me, Kodak says quality. So be sure to ask for the paper that says Kodak. It's always available where you see the Kodak paper sign. The sign with that memorable face. Mine. Look for the Kodak paper sign when you get your pictures developed. And tell them the guy on the sign sent you.
Washington is producing some smiles today, and that's news. Why, it is being asked, does Governor Jerry Brown take a turkey along on his campaigns? For spare parts. What's the difference between Congress and a kindergarten? A kindergarten has adult supervision. Alfred Kahn, who was assigned to lead the White House Brigade Against Inflation, needs a sense of humor. Kahn believes that if you laid every economist in America end to end, they would all point in different directions. Kahn speaks of his job with mixed emotions. He defines mixed emotions as that feeling which a very religious mother feels when her daughter comes home from a date with a Gideon's Bible. Congressman Morris Udall has a suggestion for Kahn, turning over the inflation problem to the U.S. Postal Service. The post office might not stop inflation, but it can easily handle the job of slowing it down. If you laid every lawyer in America end to end, you would probably come up with a legal bill that would top the defense budget. The legal case of the week has been litigated in Tampa between the makers of a toy aardvark named Alvin and a toy aardvark named Mr. Zot. When you squeeze Mr. Zot's tail or tummy, compressed air forces a tongue with a bit of metal on it to scoop up a meal of magnetized ants. When you squeeze a rubber bulb on Alvin, his plastic tongue picks up cloth ants. Their respective inventors went to court alleging infringement of patent rights. Refreshingly different, said the judge, after playing with the aardvarks. The Colorado State University is hailing Achilles, not the Greek hero, but the campus bull. Achilles has become a legend in his own time. He has sired 30,000 calves. Ah, but there's Achilles' heel. His is a life without love. Achilles has yet to meet his first cow. He's done his good works through artificial insemination. As a consolation, the university is said to be thinking of making Achilles a tenured professor. And that's no bull. In Athens, Illinois, Tolbert Hill is claiming credit for 2,250 babies. It need hastily be added that Tolbert Hill's a doctor. He's 106 years old, and that's how many babies he estimates he's delivered in a career that began in 1896. His prescription for a long life: stay away from cigarettes, alcohol, and big cities, especially the big cities. What would Dr. Hill say about the Gray Panther of Madison, Wisconsin? The 71-year-old man approached the flashily dressed woman and allegedly solicited her services if she would give him a senior citizen's discount. The undercover cop served up a summons instead. Now this.
Back in 1893, when Dave Lennox built his first furnace, the coolest spot in town was on the ice wagon. In time, Dave turned his attention to air conditioning. Lennox soon became a leader in cooling. In comfort and efficiency, today's Lennox two-speed condenser obsoletes older single-speed units. It saves money because it uses less energy. Take it from Dave Lennox. To modernize your home, call your independent Lennox dealer. He's in the Yellow Pages.
Attaboy, Dave.
Newsbreak. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
CBS News. The Senate is to vote shortly on overriding the president's veto. I'm Richard C. Hottle at reporting on the CBS Radio Network.
Last night, the House of Representatives voted to override Mr. Carter's veto of a bill killing his 10-cent a gallon fee on gasoline. This morning, Democratic and Republican leaders in the Senate predicted that chamber will do the same. In the words of Majority Leader Robert Byrd, we have no chance of sustaining it now. Minority Leader Howard Baker concurred, saying, I think the veto will be overridden. If the Senate does vote to override, it would be the first time in 28 years that a Democratic-controlled Congress had overridden a Democratic president. In the month of May, unemployment rose to a rate of 7.8%, reaching its highest point since President Carter was elected nearly 4 years ago. It was the second sharp rise in consecutive months, and in absolute figures means that 889,000 Americans lost their jobs last month, with the construction and automobile industries especially hard hit. Rudolph Oswald, chief economist of the AFL-CIO, spoke to CBS News.
The unemployment figures indicate that there's severe suffering for some 8 million workers who want jobs and cannot find them, and that the economic conditions have severely deteriorated in terms of jobs for millions of workers.
The Labor Department's Bureau of Labor Statistics also reported today that prices at the producer level, at wholesale, rose only 0.3%, the smallest monthly increase in nearly 3 years. This flattening out at the wholesale level is expected to be reflected in a less sharp rise in the Consumer Price Index, which will be issued later this month. More news after this.
Hi, Steve Allen here in a reminiscing mood speaking for PIP, Postal Instant Press. Remember the old days when you wanted just 100 copies of an important paper printed? You had to pay for 10 times the quantity you needed and then cherry-pick the pile to find the good stuff. But fortunately, time marches on. About 15 years ago, an innovative printer came up with a way to print 10 to 10,000 copies on a professional printing press, and every copy was identical to the original or better. PIP, Postal Instant Press, pioneered instant printing and helped change the way America buys printing. Today, when you want any quantity of any printing job, PIP is the place to go. All you have to do is remember the letters PIP. They stand for America's number one while you wait printer.
Quality printing, here's a tip. Always rely on your nearby PIP. They'll print it fast while you wait. Take it to PIP, the printing is great.
Look for the PIP printer near you in the Yellow Pages, under Printers.
The Soviet Union's two newest cosmonauts are closing in on the orbiting Salyut 6 space station. They're riding aboard a new and improved version of the Soyuz spacecraft known as the Model T-2. Gordon Joseloff has more in this report from Moscow.
The Soyuz T-2 is the Soviet Union's first fly-it-yourself spacecraft, and its real test comes later today when its two cosmonauts are scheduled to link it up with the orbiting Salyut 6 space station. The Soyuz T-2, unlike earlier Soyuz models, has an onboard computer. Thus, cosmonauts Yuri Malchev and Vladimir Aksyonov will be able to carry out the docking operation independent of mission control. Previous Soviet cosmonauts had to rely on radioed commands from Earth to guide their space maneuvers. Other features of the new craft include solar batteries for its power system. The cosmonauts will also be testing lighter plastic spacesuits designed to make movement easier. There's no word how long the latest cosmonauts will remain aboard the space station. The two cosmonauts who've occupied the station since April are probably still straightening up from their last space visitors, a Soviet and Hungarian, who departed 2 days ago after a week-long visit. Gordon Joseloff, CBS News, Moscow.
Stocks and other news after this.
Waiter, there's a fly in my soup.
Waiter, there's a fly in my soup.
Oh, those flies, they're ruining my business. But I can't use a pest strip near food.
You need new Black Flag Flyport.
Flyport? What is the Flyport?
Flyport is the new way to kill flies without poison, insecticide odor, or mess.
We can use it near food.
Right. Flyport attracts flies who land, get stuck, and die. Hidden from view. There's no bug fallout.
Oh, fantastic.
New Black Flag Flyport. Lots of arrivals, but no departures.
And no more flies. Flies into soup.
Thomas, our tennis court is packed with Sony Beta cassettes.
I know, dear. You see, Sony has this fantastic buy two and save deal on twin packs of L500 and L750 Beta cassettes.
Thomas, there's a Sony trailer truck in the driveway.
I know. I think Sony videotape is the best with its picture-perfect pictures. After all, they invented Beta cassettes.
Either the tapes go or I go. Where are you going?
Back to the Sony dealer to get more buy two and save twin packs.
You won't see me again.
Oh, yes, I will. I've got you recorded on Sony Beta cassettes. Bye.
Oh.
The so-called Crimes of America conference closed in Tehran today with a resolution condemning, quote, the intervention of the United States in the internal affairs of Iran, unquote. The measure also denounces what is called the discriminatory treatment of Iranian students in the United States. There is no mention in the resolution of the American hostages now in their 216th day of captivity. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones average up 1.97. Volume on the big board, nearly 15.5 million shares. The Dow Jones Industrial stand at 860.67. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News.
CBS News. The nation's unemployment rate jumps to 7.8%, but for auto workers, it's far worse. I'm Stephanie Shelton reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The national jobless rate grew by 0.8% last month, a total of 8.2 million Americans out of work. But as Rob Marr reports, Michigan's unemployment rate is almost double the nation's.
The state of Michigan has been in the throes of an automotive sales slowdown since April of 1979 and now has a 14% jobless rate. There are 607,000 persons out of work in the automotive state, and that's 19,000 more than were off the job during the last bad economic period in 1974. Michigan's Employment Security Commission Director S. Martin Taylor.
What caused the rate to jump so much from 12.4 to 14% is that historically some of those summer job seekers would have secured employment. Now they're competing with an already heavy unemployment list, and the vast majority are not getting employed, so it just had a devastating impact on the rate.
Taylor says the 14% unemployment rate is short of the 20% out of work during the Depression, but he points out the number of people standing in lines is nearly double that of the 1930s because of the increase in population. Rob Marr for CBS News, Detroit.
Construction workers were also hard hit because of the housing slowdown. On the inflation front, however, some amelioration ahead. Prices at the wholesale level rose only 0.3% in May, the smallest increase in more than 2 years. And food prices at the producer level edged up only 0.1%. That was enough for an upbeat pronouncement by President Carter.
Well, we've turned the corner on inflation. The figures that we got this morning on the producer price index are the lowest ones since September of 1977. It was just a few weeks ago that we had an extremely high inflation rate and extremely high interest rates. Interest rates have been dropping now about 1% per week. And we hope that during the summer we'll have good statistics to present to the American people as a demonstration of our good stewardship.
Mr. Carter was speaking to state Democratic chairman at the White House. A veto override, that story next.
You want to borrow what?
A can of paint.
A can of paint?
Yeah, I ran out when I was halfway through at a garage.
Oh, really?
A gallon ought to cover it.
Look, what makes you think I have a gallon of paint just sitting around?
I'd prefer the Performer if you have it.
The Performer?
The premium exterior latex house paint from Kmart.
Kmart.
Chocolate brown is what I've been using.
Look, you come over here to borrow something that's a little unusual.
Oh, I don't think it's so unusual.
You know?
It's really an excellent paint.
I'm sure it is.
Especially for the price.
Oh?
On sale now, just $8.97 a gallon.
$8.97 a gallon.
At Kmart.
Kmart, I know.
That's a savings of $5.
I don't believe this.
It's true.
I mean, I haven't seen you in, what, 9 years?
Must be. That was the last time I paid it.
And suddenly you show up, you want to borrow a gallon of paint.
Right.
But it has to be a particular brand.
The Performer.
The Performer.
From Kmart.
From Kmart.
Chocolate brown.
It's chocolate brown, and you expect me to have it just like that.
Well?
You gotta be crazy.
What?
I mean, if it was a cup of sugar, I'd understand.
A cup of sugar?
Right.
And you call me crazy?
Right.
Who'd paint a garage with a cup of sugar?
The Performer, just $8.97 a gallon, now at Kmart. Kmart is the saving place. Sale ends June 14th.
For the first time in 28 years, a Democratic-controlled Congress has overridden a Democratic president's veto. The measure to go down the drain, President Carter's oil import fee. No reaction yet from the White House. About 8,000 people were evacuated from their homes in the Dallas suburb of Garland after two derailed tank cars began leaking chemicals, some of which blew over the center of town. But Police Commander Bob McGraw says the situation has stabilized now.
They have just okayed us to open the area up. They've got the cap, got the leaks capped on the tank cars, and they are letting us let the people go back into the area now on all but one street, and that would be the street immediately adjacent to where the wreck was.
The Justice Department is saying that it does not plan to retry former Budget Director Burt Lance or his two co-defendants. A jury acquitted the three on numerous bank fraud charges. Now this.
Saving people money on homeowners insurance is one of the things State Farm agents do best. They represent a company with a reputation for low rates. And when they keep a customer's premium down, that customer is likely to recommend State Farm to other homeowners. So saving you money on your homeowner's insurance is just good business. Come on in and talk it over with your State Farm agent.
And like a good neighbor,
great moments happen on CBS TV Sports. Be there Saturday at 2:30 Eastern for the next one. That's when we're taking you to Paris for same-day coverage of the prestigious French Open Tennis Tournament, the first leg in tennis's Grand Slam. Then at 4 Eastern, see the top touring pros shoot it out live at the Atlanta Golf Classic. And at 5 Eastern, it's two of the most electrifying minutes in all of sports, the third jewel in racing's Triple Crown, the Belmont Stakes. You'll say you saw it on CBS TV Sports.
Another of those scary hospital mix-ups. It happened at St. Elizabeth's in Belleville, Illinois. 2-year-old Brian, who needed a tonsillectomy, instead got 4-year-old Ryan's urinary tract enlargement. Ryan, of course, who didn't need his tonsils removed, got them removed. A hospital spokesman has confirmed the surgical follow-up, but no one is saying how or why it occurred. On Wall Street near the close, the Dow Jones Industrials up 2.56, big board volume 37 million shares. Stephanie Shelton, CBS News.
This is the World Tonight. Good evening. I'm Richard C. Hottle at CBS News, sitting in for Douglas Edwards. Both good and bad news on the economic front today. The producer index that measures wholesale prices went up only 0.3% last month, the most encouraging sign on the inflation front in more than 2 years. On the dark side, though, unemployment went up a big 0.8%, and more than 8 million Americans are now out of a job. More on this from Neil Strauser.
It seems clear now the recession brought on to control inflation and bring down prices is exacting its own unexpectedly heavy price in jobs. The improvement in inflation has been dramatic at the wholesale level. The producer price increase for finished goods figures out to only a 3% compound annual inflation rate compared to the 18% at the beginning of the year. But the increase in unemployment has also been dramatic. The 2-month decline, the sharpest in the 40 years the Labor Department has been keeping such figures. And for the first time in 20 years, the jobless rate for adult men was as high as for adult women. But Treasury Secretary G. William Miller still is resisting stronger anti-recessionary measures.
The president has said that he does not contemplate any tax reductions this year. The greatest contribution we can make to economic growth and the creation of jobs is to get the inflation rate down.
The administration also ruled out accelerated jobs programs, but Miller did call for even sharper reductions in interest rates charged by banks. Neil Strauser, CBS News, Washington.
The state of California is trying a novel experiment in the jobless field, one that Washington is watching closely. Terry Drinkwater has a report.
In an attempt to cut the number of unemployed, California has embarked on a pilot Share the Work program. Private businesses, which would otherwise be laying off workers, have been urged to try a 4-day week, with the state paying unemployment benefits for the 5th day. Some workers don't like the smaller checks, but agree that it's better than being fired. The average check from the unemployment office for the 5th non-working day is $20. That's substantially less than the average employee would receive, of course, if he worked. In all, 20,000 workers have benefited from the experimental program. 800 companies, mostly small manufacturing firms, hurt by the recession, say it enables them to keep their highly skilled employees. California is the first state to try the idea, and from Washington, the Labor Department is watching the project to see if it has merit nationally. Terry Drinkwater, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Ronald Reagan said today that President Carter's policy of pruning jobs is proof that he's been in the Rose Garden too long. Come on out, Reagan said. Come on out, Jimmy, and see what you're causing. Reagan repeated his call for a 30% tax cut over 3 years. More news after this.
If you want the gift you give Dad this Father's Day to be useful and appreciated, True Value Hardware Stores suggest you give quality Master Mechanic tools. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you Master Mechanic tools are quality tools designed for the professional but priced for the homeowner. Like the 71-piece tool set that features the most popular socket sizes for many home and auto repairs, plus an assortment of wrenches, screwdrivers, and more, all for just $49.95. Master Mechanic tools and accessories from True Value Hardware Stores are made in the USA from the finest materials to precision standards. And each carries with it a customer satisfaction policy that assures good performance or a free replacement. Give Dad the professional edge in the tools he uses with Master Mechanic tools sold only at participating True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers. And save gas. You won't have to drive far for your hardware and houseware needs. If you're looking for value, service, and selection, you'll find them nearby at any one of the more than 5,000 True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers located nationwide.
To a certain extent, it's still true that when the United States sneezes, Europe catches pneumonia. The United States has been sneezing quite a lot lately, which could mean even more trouble ahead for Europe. We have a report from Tom Fenton, our chief European correspondent.
Britain, usually the first to feel the effects of an American economic slump, is already headed for a sharp recession. Unemployment is expected to jump by 30% to roughly 2 million by the end of this year. Inflation is now exceeding 20%, as are interest rates on ordinary bank loans. Faced with this bleak picture, Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher's conservative government is simply sitting tight, counting on market forces to bring down inflation eventually. Elsewhere in Western Europe, governments have roughly the same approach. Priority is being given to fighting inflation and avoiding moves that would stimulate their economies, even though unemployment is already unusually high. The consensus among finance ministers of the major Western industrial countries who met in Paris this week was that inflation in most of their countries will reach its peak in the next 12 months. Their optimistic outlook, however, was based on the assumption that there will be no new major increase in the price of oil. Tom Fenton, CBS News, London.
More news when the World Tonight continues.
Announcing Stuckey's great giveaway. We're giving away 200,000 prizes at 290 Stuckey stores nationwide. Top prize, a 1980 Chevy Citation. Five $1,000 cash prizes and 25 $100 cash prizes. Soft drinks, T-shirts, and candy, too. Stop at a Stuckey's. Pick up a great giveaway ticket. 5 million tickets available. Nothing to buy. 200,000 prizes in all.
Take a break and grab a bite at Stuckey's. You'll eat it up.
Offer ends September 30th. Void where prohibited.
Who's there?
Candy.
Candy who?
Candy, imagine why you have this no-pest target on your door.
Well, imagine no flies or mosquitoes. We have no pest.
The famous no-pest strip. If you use an aerosol, use the no-pest strip, too. You'll kill more flies and mosquitoes because the strip kills 24 hours a day.
Who's there?
Utah.
Utah who?
You talked me into it. I'm getting no-pest.
Oh, good.
Get the no-pest strip and kill flying bugs 24 hours a day. Do you have no-pest?
President Carter's 10-cent-a-gallon gasoline fee died on Capitol Hill today, the first time in 28 years that a Democratic Hill has failed to sustain a Democratic president's veto. Nelson Benton has the story.
President Carter's 10-cents-per-gallon gasoline fee was buried on Capitol Hill when the Senate overrode a presidential veto. The Senate override was 68-10. The House yesterday rejected the fee proposal. Mr. Carter vetoed that rejection. The House overrode last night, and today the Senate administered the coup de grace. Colorado Democrat Gary Hart was one of only two senators who spoke for the fee.
It's a failure of will on the part of the Congress and, I guess to a certain degree, the constituents they represent who want to continue unrealistic cheap energy.
Dale Bumpers of Arkansas was one of many Democrats opposed.
The president's proposal didn't make any economic sense. It didn't make any energy sense, and didn't make any social sense.
In the override actions, all Republican members of the Senate and the House who voted against the gasoline fee. Nelson Benton, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Wall Street Report in a moment.
And this mattress is called the what?
The King Coil Posture Bond. You can't buy any better in our store.
Well, it's very comfortable.
Oh, yes, and you'll get firmness and durability year after year.
Oh, gee, I wish my husband were here to try it out with me.
That's the best way.
Oh, mm-hmm. Say, that man over there, he's about the same size and weight as my
husband. Excuse me, sir?
Yes?
Could you lie down on this King Coil Posture Bond mattress for a moment?
No, I'm just waiting for my wife here.
Oh, it'll just take a sec.
She's buying a throw pillow for our breezeway.
There you go.
Now, let me get on the other side.
Ooh, this Posture Bond is very comfortable.
It's the unique construction of the King Coil Posture Bond.
See, could you throw your arm over me? That's what Walter does.
Like this?
Exactly. Now, could you put your foot in the small of my back?
Okay.
And the pillow over your head.
All right.
No matter how you scrunch up, this King Coil Posture Bond is still firm and comfortable.
Yeah, golly. You know what Shirley and I do? We sometimes... Hi, Shirley. I was just lying in bed here telling this lady how we... See, this is a King Coil. She needed my foot to... Help.
Try a King Coil Posture Bond. Its unique bonded construction assures comfort and durability year after year.
Stocks higher on Wall Street today. The Dow Jones Industrials closed around 861, up 2.82. The average price per share was up 14 cents on the New York Exchange and up the same amount on the American Exchange. Wall Street on this world tonight.